Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. It is your girl, Cy Brown, and I am coming at you live from New York City, bringing you your daily dose of urban inspiration, politics, pop culture, Palin, Biden, and all that good stuff. It's a pleasure for me to be on your dial every single day at 12 noon. So what did everybody think about the debate last night? I have my opinions, and I'm definitely going to share them during today's show. But what happened? This lady winking at the camera and the facetious smiles and the condescension. You know, I titled my blog post today, Biden Stuck to the Issues, Palin Stuck to the Script, because I was just so disenchanted and disheartened and displeased. And I was actually yelling and screaming at my TV last night. I'm like, is this lady serious? Is she for real? You know, I it's almost disrespectful how people can fall for the nonsense that they're putting out to make us think that this woman is really ready to be president one day. First of all, she said that she wants to expand the powers of the vice presidency, which everybody knows after Cheney is a complete and utter disaster. So how she could even fix her lips to say something like that is totally beyond me. But just even aside from that, just all the nonsensical stuff that was talked about last night, you know, I don't know. Well, we're definitely going to get into that today. I don't know. Does everybody know that Wachovia has a new owner? Wachovia is now owned by Wells Fargo Bank. It's a pleasure to wake up this morning and not have my $17.42 gone. So I'm happy to say that I'm happy that Wachovia is still in existence and that it's not gone. But just, you know, it's snatched up by somebody else now. What is going on? I was talking to my friend Carl Agard, who joins us on the show all the time, and we were talking last night, like, when is the bottom really going to fall out? I don't know. It's a very rhetorical question because we don't want it to bottom out, and I'm hoping that we are at rock bottom, but my gut is telling me we have a little bit more to go, which we don't know where it's going to go. You know, my son asked me the other day, he said, how come we're not rich? And I said, well, sweetheart, nobody's rich at this point. He's like, well, I thought we had money. I said, we have a little something, but it's hard even for children to imagine, and I've talked about this on the show before, that we are living in a very different world. Times have changed. People have changed. Economic circumstances have changed. And just things are not the way they were. I think the prosperity of the 90s, everything that was going on with the dot-coms and the free money is over. Just remember, what goes up must come down. And right now I think we're living in a time where it's painful, it hurts. Nobody wants to be here right now. I know I sure don't. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to watch what I'm putting in my grocery basket every single time I go food shopping. If I want cookies and cream ice, you know, like think about it. I'm an ice cream, but my house is really big ice cream people, and we love Häagen-Dazs. And, you know, sometimes Häagen-Dazs has the little things two for $7. Well, you know something? If I want to buy four, which is not uncommon, you know, for a family of four, but now I have to rethink if I want to spend $14 on ice cream. Think about it, $14 on ice cream, that's a lot of money. That's gas, that's an electric bill, that's my phone service. It can be for anything, but I just remember a point in time where it didn't matter if I bought four different things of Häagen-Dazs ice cream. It didn't matter. It didn't matter at all, but now it matters. So, you know, I like I said, I'm just happy that I still have my $17 in Wachovia and that I didn't wake up and Wachovia is gone. So I'm happy about that. Let me see what's going on in the chat. Oh, wow. Whoa, the chat room is busy. Okay, let me just see. Okay, hey, Yeshu, and dropping seed. Hey, Miss Smokey, we have a guest, so thank you to our guest who's listening. Hey, everybody. Oh, my bank account has changed, Miss Smokey says. Well, I hope that's not a bad thing. Yeshu just sent us a link. It says from the insideout.us/index. So I'm going to click that momentarily. Yeshu, just let me know what that is because I can't really click it and do the show at the same time. Dropping Seed said you're getting ready to get on the road. Well, I'm being nosy. Where are you going? Where are you going? So I want to know. That's a shame. I just put everything in the chat room. But also, just let me let you update you guys on a couple of things. We do have a guest that's going to be joining us momentarily. But in the meantime, everybody, I'm on the radio. Well, I'm on the radio with you now. I'm on the radio local to New York City tonight on 90.5, I believe it is. If you're part of my email list, please go to my blog, cybrown.com, and join my email list, and then you'll know where I'll be because I'm all of a sudden guest hosting on a lot of political stuff. Do you think maybe because I have a book coming out called Politics Remix, perhaps? But anyway, just check that out. Oh, thanks, Yeshu. I see you in the chat room. You're saying it's fasting from wrong thinking. Oh, you sent that link to us yesterday, I believe, and I went to the website, and it was like a little butterfly or something floating on the upper right-hand corner. So, yeah, and I'm happy that you did resend this link. Everybody, it's in the chat room from the insideout.us/index.php. Because I meant to save it as a favorite, and I did not save it as a favorite yesterday. So, that's what's up. A 12-hour worship. Oh, okay. And then I'm going to get into today's show in a second, but I just want to keep everybody abreast of the chat room chatter. It's a 12-hour worship service. Well, we pray that you get to your service safely. And guess what, everybody? I got I'm letting everybody know now. I think this is called a disclaimer. But yesterday I was able to put our chat room conversation on my blog. So I highlighted it a little bit of our conversation from the chat room and posted it up to liferemixedradio.com. So it is on the blog. So don't put anything in the chat room that you may not want people to read or just say, sigh, don't post this. I don't post our whole conversation, but our listenership is growing every single day. And because of by virtue of the time of our show, you know, some people can't call in or some people can call in and can't chat. Whatever it is, we want people to be able to get their life changed in a way that is convenient for them. So if they read it in the chat room, if they listen to the show on iTunes, MySpace, all those good things, that's what it is. But everybody, don't forget to join my email list, cybrown.com or liferemixedradio.com. And lastly, follow me on Twitter because I was tweeting all last night during the presidential the vice presidential debate, and my blog title for today was Joe Biden stuck Joe Biden stuck to the issues and Sarah Palin stuck to the script. So I'm still writing that blog post, but the title is there. So we're going to really get into that. But on that note, oh, I see you, Pastor. I see you just joined to listen to the show, so I will not chime you in because your number just came up on the switchboard. So thanks a lot. I will not click over. So thank you for listening to the show, even in your travels. That's an honor and a blessing. Let me get into today's daily thought real quick, and then I'm going to jump right into our guest because we will not have our guest for the entire show. He has to boogie, so we just want to thank him for joining us. And I'll clue everybody in on who he is in a moment. But today's daily thought, very quickly, comes courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center, and it reads as such, I let go of all unpleasant experiences. As we travel, we bring back souvenirs from our trips that remind us of the good times we had. We take snapshots of the magnificent sights and the adventures we have shared with friends and families. We save letters and cards that remind us of the love and kind words others have shared with us. We have a tendency, and rightly so, to treasure pleasant experiences. And even though we treasure pleasant experiences, we have a tendency to hang on to the hurts and pains of yesteryears. We hang on to these unpleasant experiences just as we we hang on to the treasured mementos. We have a choice to toss the unpleasant experiences just as we toss bad photos. I let go of unpleasant experiences. I celebrate that which is joyful, happy, and pleasant. I let go of hurts, pain, and anger. I take from the unpleasant experience and the lesson I need to learn and the good I find there, and I let go of the rest. I allow the good experiences to define me and not the negative ones. I focus on pleasures of living and I toss the rest. Thanks, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And today's scripture reading comes from the book of Psalm chapter 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my troubles. So I guess that just means chew the bones and spit out the fat, I guess. I'm not sure what that means, but hold on, everybody. Sorry, everybody. A friend of mine just came on into the studio, and I just had to see, make sure she's okay. Anyway, sorry, I got distracted for a second. But anyway, let go of all the garbage. Keep the good stuff. Let go of all the old stuff. Our guest for today is Gary G.S. Smith, who is the VP of Creative and Business Development for Lord Gang DJs. I got an email that he hosted a conference call last night with some pretty high-profile women just about sexism in the entertainment industry. And y'all know I just hit people up. I'm like, yo, can you come on my show and talk about this a little bit? And he graciously agreed to, so I was very happy about that. So I'm going to bring him into the conversation. He can't be with us for the entire show. But, you know, he's going to be with us and share his views and his opinions. Gary, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yo, good look. First of all, let me put it in my gentle swagger. Yo, good looking out, yo.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's all good. Before we get into, you know, I always say I'm being nosy. I have a great show every day. My chat room is live. Everybody is live, and it's just a ball. But tell everybody a little bit about who you are, and then I'm going to get into what I get into and what I do best.
Okay, my name is G.S. I work for Do It All from Lords of the Underground. The name of the company is Lord Gang Worldwide. We're about empowering the independent, both, you know, also all artists, whether you, even if you're on a major as well, cause, you know, we had Rod Digger. She came on the call yesterday. We had scheduled Kim Osorio, but she has some scheduling difficulties, so she wasn't able to make it. But we also had Silky D. She's like a West Coast pioneer. She was on K-Day Radio. She helped me moderate the call. And we had over 60 men and women talking on the subject of sexism in the entertainment business. But before I get into that a little bit more, let's give people a little bit more background of the company. I'm also the VP of the DJ Coalition. We also have another VP by the name of Mike Hatch. He's the senior vice president, chief operating officer. We also have Danger One, who's also a DJ. He's the head of sales and marketing. And we have DJ D-Docs out of Seattle. He's the president of Lord Gang DJs. And we also have Jay. He's vice president of New Media. He's also a DJ on Swerve Radio. With Streets to the Streets, hosted with Kitty, sponsored by Kevin Black from Warner Brothers. So that just gives, let's give you a little, brief little rundown of who we are and what we do.
Well, I think it's important that people know who I bring on the show. Because they trust me every single day to bring on good guests that bring them information and cause them to rethink everything they know. So I know you're going to bring a powerful message. And so that's why the floor was yours, you know, to let everybody know who they're listening to. And they could, you know, look you up and all that good stuff. I'll put your website and stuff in the chat room momentarily. I want to jump into your call last night. The purpose of the call, as I understand it, was to discuss sexism in the entertainment business. What prompted your organization, your company, Lord Gang DJs, to even address that issue?
Well, slight clarification. Lord Gang DJs is a division of Lord Gang Worldwide.
Oh, okay, okay.
So the conference call was under Lord Gang Worldwide. All right.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, not a problem. But what prompted, because it's really, because I pretty much coordinate the call, and you know, what prompted me is that you know, we have obviously, I just gave an all-male lineup, and I thought it was necessary to try to create, because we have an open forum, and I wanted an open forum to try to bring some balance to what we're doing, and trying to create some balance in what we're doing, you got to address sexism, because you want to have an environment where women feel comfortable working with men. Because in this business, women are very distrustful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had this, like, a young lady that I've been wanting to try to help with her career. She sometimes avoids me with the plague, and I'm wondering, like, what's the real deal? She probably don't trust me because I'm a man.
Well, I can definitely speak to that, and I'm going to speak to it because I worked in the industry for many, many years, and it's a very fine line between politicking and socializing versus being flirtatious. I'm just speaking from a female perspective, and now just as a business owner, a businesswoman, I will not be in the presence of a man in any circumstances without another individual, preferably a female present. That's number one. And number two, I almost have adopted like a no-hug policy. And that's because I know where stuff leads to, because I personally have been put in extremely uncomfortable situations because everybody's trying to come up in the industry. And it's all about who you know and who knows who and being able to access their connections. So I personally experienced feeling uncomfortable. But then on the flip side, I have to agree with you too, because there are times when I deliberately put that female swagger on a little bit heavy to try to manipulate the situation. So, you know, I'm not absolving myself of or claiming, oh, hip-hop is so misogynistic. I, at times, put myself in compromising situations to advance my own career, but then eventually I was like, you know what, if I'm not willing to go all the way, what's the risk? So I'm not doing it anymore. And it was difficult. I'm happy that you addressed it, and specifically with Kim, because she sued the source. What made you reach out to her?
Well, someone that is affiliated with us that did some PR work with the Lord's album reached out to her based upon an email, and you know, through mutual contacts. It was reached out to her, but she just was unavailable to do it at the last second. But Rod Dicker came on the call, and she shared a lot of her wisdom. Like I said, Silky D, she was there with Dre with the World Class Wrecking Crew way back in the day. So she's seen a lot, been through a lot over there in the West Coast. So she helped moderate the discussion and made sure all the women felt real comfortable sharing their experiences. One thing that came out of the call is that when I talked to Silky after the call, she said that it was refreshing to hear men willing to actually deal with the issue.
Yeah, it is, because you know what it. Because I think, and this is my true and honest belief, that we're at a point right now that everybody has to lay aside, yes, all the nonsense, all the BS, and get to the essence of how we're gonna get down with this. Get rid of all the nonsense, all the fluff. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said he went to his college reunion, like they have Black College, Black Weekend or whatever. And he said, any other year, everybody's there talking about pretty decent school. People are talking about, yeah, I got this new whip. Yeah, I just bought a crib. Yeah, I just got back from Jamaica. He said, this year, everybody was like, yo, I'm stinking. How can we work together? How can we politic together? How can we grow our respective careers and professions together? And I think that's why the timing of what you're doing is so good, because we're at a point right now where people are sick of all the fluff and the BS, and we're getting down to the essence of, yo, how can we build these bridges and get this paper together, basically?
Yeah, this is true. And, you know, getting back to, you know, to a broader concept of what the conference call is about, because we have them every 2 weeks. Yeah, we have them every 2 weeks. And so basically what we try to have is an open forum, and every once in a while I would theme the night. So that's the theme for that night. yesterday with sexism in entertainment business. I got a couple other themes coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about networking. It's about trading contacts. I mean, over the years, we have had a lot of men and women on the call. And another thing that kind of prompted me is that, you know, we would have women that come on the call. We would sit here, and as men, we would dominate the conversation. And women with great ideas would just sit back and be quiet.
That's that sneaky side a little bit of women, because we're very methodical, and we're going to sit and plan and see how we can twist the situation to our way. So to all my women listeners, please don't think I'm turning my back to women, because I'm very pro, you know, girl power. But on the same note, a lot of it, that's our way, and maybe that's our defense mechanism for self-preservation within an industry that really is not that friendly to women.
You're right.
I don't know.
Actually, you know, the society isn't it. You know, when you and I brought it up, and because you know we have people of all backgrounds on the call, so I didn't want to go all the way in on it. But you know, from an African sitting perspective, you know, a lot of what's going on from the way I look at it is that sexism, racism, and classism is all about power.
Yes, it is. You better speak on that, buddy.
And I think particularly with black men being in this business, we have adopted in all areas of our life, just not just dealing with the sexism issue, but in most areas of our lives, we have adopted the worst of the worst of the value systems coming from the dominant culture. And we failed to challenge that within ourselves as black men. And because we don't challenge that value system, when we approach our most natural ally, which is our fellow black woman, we thoroughly, in many respects, even though our heart may be in the right place, a lot of times we just disrespect our women.
Wow. Wow.
And even you know, even I consider myself a good man, I've messed up and done some dumb stuff, both on a business level and on a personal level. Not on a business level like I'm trying to figure out a way to get in some woman's pants, but I may not have addressed her in a proper way. Because a lot of women straight to the sexual. But the sexism sometimes isn't necessarily in, and we probably have to bring that out, we do a part two, in the whether or not our brother's trying to scheme or some tail, but whether or not you respect that woman's intellect and judgment.
You're really dropping it, because you're absolutely right. And that's why, that's why I said, you know, I'm not to disrespect women, but we know what do as well. The fault does not just lie with all the men in the industry. A lot of it lies with the women as well, who maybe don't have enough self-worth or value to stand their ground. When I wrote my first book, From Hip Hop to Heaven, it detailed my exodus from the industry. I was like, I'm done with it. I'm on fire for the Lord. Hey, you got to go to heaven. You need Jesus. I went to the extreme for just a second, but I brought myself back. But the point is this. You know how many people were trying to get at me to find out what was in my book? I started to find it comical, because basically I was detailing my life in the industry. And a friend of mine said, oh, I'll edit the book. And somebody else was like, yo, Sai, I can help you, you know. People did not know what I was going to say. And I finally, and this is the God's honest truth, I had to, like, pretty much let everybody know my book is not going to get anybody divorced. That's not what this book is about. But it's because I had seen so many things. I was like, dad, this is crazy. But everybody's dirty. Everybody knows that there's a little, they compromised a little bit to get to where they are. I just want to say one more thing and throw one more question out, because I know you don't have too much time to spend with me today. But I remember opening up Essence Magazine years ago, and when I was a publicist, actually. And for those of you who are not familiar with a publicist's responsibility, it's our responsibility to get our clients talked about in the press. Hook or crook, you need your client in the press, good, bad, or indifferent. And I opened up Essence, and there was another celebrity publicist in there, and my stomach sank. I was like, dad, that could be me. But I knew how she got to that position. And I was like, you know what, Sai? It's just not your time. That's not how you're meant to get in the pages of Essence. And last year I was in Essence magazine. It wasn't a full spread like she had, but and it took a long time, but I had my time, and I wasn't going to compromise who I was, compromise my marriage, you know, walking into a party and have people looking at my husband sideways like, yeah, I had her. You know, how do you, as a man, how do you wrestle with that? What, you know, even with dealing with a woman, do you deal with women in the industry, or do you deal with women that are just like, yo, she can't be in the industry?
Well, it seems like where, you know, I've, you know, lately, I think the past couple of women I've talked to had some sort of involvement on the come up, trying to come up in the business.
Wow.
And, you know, me personally. And it's kind of, it could be kind of trying at times because, you know, you wrestle with the fact that, if she's out by herself, like you said, how do other men view and perceive?
And you know what you
because necessarily it's not necessarily a trust issue with her, but you hear how other men talk when it's just men, and you know how other men think, and even though you may not think exactly like they think, you're around it so much, you're scared.
Mhm.
You know. So you want to sit there, so that came up in the conversation too, where people was like, you know, women was feeling like kind of concerned, like I can handle myself, but men were like, yeah, you can handle yourself, but I don't want you in that environment anyway. Not because I'm trying to control you per se, but I don't want nothing bad happening to you, and I'm not there.
You're bringing up such valid points, and I want to say to you and say to all of my listeners, GS right now, I personally feel you're being very honest and very candid. I can hear it in your voice. For me personally, and really this wasn't even what the whole show was going to be about, but I just want to just kind of, you know, bring another one of my points in. When I was really heavy in the industry, I was angry with my husband because he didn't understand, I got to go to this party. I have to be at this place. I have to be seen with these people. And I was thinking it would just be so much easier if I had a man that was in the industry. I am so happy now looking back that he wasn't in the industry. You feel what I'm saying? Because I know what that life can lead to. And it's a very glamorous life. My life was great. But tomorrow night, we're going to Red Alert is having a surprise birthday party. So we're going to his birthday party tomorrow night in the city. And you know something? I could walk into that party with my head held high and I don't have to worry about any dudes looking at my husband sideways like, oh, that's Sai's husband. Oh, y'all been married 20 years? Oh, 15 years, whatever? Oh, whatever. You see what I'm saying? I don't have to worry about any of that because I had enough sense and sensibility even back then to just try to keep my guard up and not let things happen to me too sideways.
Oh, I hear you. I mean, I hear you. You know,
well, I just know you have to get ready to go.
I got a little bit more time. We could talk a little bit more.
It was like a favorite thing. Let me read to you some of the things that's going on in the chat room. And for those of you who are just tuning in right now, speaking with GS, I'm not even going to give you, I just give GS, that's what it is, and he had a conference call last night. He facilitated the conference call with a lot of women in hip-hop, and they had a discussion on sexism in the entertainment business, and that's pretty much what we're talking about right now, so I just want to give a big shout-out to him, and thank you for joining me on the show today. Let me read to you some of the things that are in the chat room, and I will be posting some of the comments on the chat room on my blog, liferemixradio.com, and also sybrown.com, and I encourage you, even if you're only catching a portion of today's show, to go to iTunes and download it. But some of my people in the chat room, GS, are just saying that, and they're from all over. TrueView is in Cali. He's saying, I agree with that. Protection of a woman, no matter what business you're in, there has to be balance. And he's saying to me that I still have my family. Yeah, I do, you know. And I've said this to you guys on the air before. I feel that I would be a lot further in my career had I compromised on certain things, and I opted not to. And I really believe my time working as KRS-One's assistant played a big role in that because he taught me a different standard. Chris will only work with families. When we moved to Atlanta, his family and my family moved together. Wherever we went, his wife was there, my husband was there, it was family. And that showed me a different side of hip-hop. That showed me a different perspective of how I can conduct myself in this industry, that I don't have to be a superhead. And I remember Chris said one time, when 2010 looks back at 2002, who do you think they're going to respect, me or you? And I never, ever, ever forgot that. I have two teenage sons, and I don't want something to pop up on YouTube or, you know, whatever. Now they'd be like, yo, Daquan, that's your mom? Yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, just all of these things. But sexism in hip-hop, sexism in rock and roll, I think this conversation is really proprietary to hip-hop just because that's my area of expertise. But it's in rock and roll, too. It's in country music, too. You know, it's really sexism is across the board in so many facets of our culture, the culture in which we live right now. It's tough to avoid. Let me ask you, G, what was the outcome of last night's call? What was portion of the resolution after last night's call?
Well, I think we need a part two because really it was more of a sharing experience.
Okay.
So a lot of people had, and it's particularly women, they had an opportunity to vent and to share their experience with each other to help sensitize some of us men to some of the struggles that they go through. So I think it was really a cathartic experience in many respects.
I love that word, cathartic. I love it. That's one of my favorites. And for those of you, just go to dictionary.com and you'll find out what that word means. It's a very peaceful word, and it brings you to a different place in your life. But anyway, since you're going to be with us a little bit longer, thank you. Let's talk a little bit about how you got to the position that you're in, because I'm not trying to bring the conversation down. And just for the record, I love sex, everybody, and I hope you all do too. So on that note, talk to me a little bit about how you got to the position that you're in now. Let's talk about the industry stuff. Come on. Let's lighten this up a little bit.
Well, how can I take this? One, I like to say thank God for Lord Gang Worldwide. Let me put it up front like that. Because, one of the things I do wanted to do was create a situation where independent companies can come together to empower one another. So I responded to an email because I'm up here in upstate New York working with a lot of independent artists and doing promotions up here in the local market. I responded to an email networking like anybody else, and it was for a contest that Lord Gang was doing, and I got called up and started dealing with some of the principal parties at that particular time and started coming on the conference calls, being real active. And, slowly started, moving my way up within the organization. And we had a couple of changes going on. And, what I was bringing to the table was being, valued and respected. And, that's how I became what I was, or who I am, I should say.
So what are some of the things that you do on a day-to-day basis to help independent artists? Because shows like mine, I don't personally play music, but I know a lot of people that have their own, show where they do play music. And what's happening is with the syndication of a lot of radio shows, a lot of radio personalities are now without a job. So they're starting their own radio shows. What are some of the ways that you, you promote music and help the independent artists?
Well, we have email blasts. I have the ability to email blast over 20,000 contacts. That helps. Excuse me?
I need to be added to that list.
Okay.
But we'll politic after the scenes. I definitely want to be part of your list.
All right. So I have the ability to do that. Another thing that we do is that we have a DJ coalition. And let's break it down into three categories. We have an MP3 pool, which is about 200. Then we have active, what we call Lord Gain DJs, which is about 40. And then we have about 12 to 15 that we consider Lord Gain certified. And those and we use our DJs to help brand artists. And you know, because, you know, a lot of our DJs have podcasts. A lot of our DJs have internet radio stations. A lot of our are on internet radio stations. A lot of our DJs do their mixtapes. They're in the clubs. Some of them are on AM radio, you know, the non-reported. So a lot of stuff may not necessarily show up on a media base or a BDS report.
Right.
But they do have the ability to help create a word-of-mouth buzz.
Yeah.
Which is the foundation. And I think a lot of up-and-coming artists may neglect that aspect, that you got to have a buzz. So when you do approach a PD that's media-based or a PD that's BDS, they're looking for a story.
Yes, they are.
And I mean, and you're a pub, you know, and as a publisher, you understand the concept of a story.
Yep.
And that is so vital in breaking an artist, whether you're trying to get press or you're trying to get spins on the radio. You gotta sit there and invest the time to create your story.
Mhm.
And that helps an independent artist do what they need to do. So yeah, you know, you may not in the beginning. Core DJs is probably the largest. I'm not trying to, and I'm just going to say that because, you know, they have a lot of BDS tier one DJs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may not be able to get the attention of Core immediately, but if they see Lord Gain pumping you, they may be like, all right, they may have a little something there. Let me see what's going on. Same thing with any other DJ coalition. This happened to be the biggest. So I just use them as an example. And now you're able to build a relationship with those DJs because you built a relationship with our DJs. Now you might get the attention of a PD if you get some mix show spins, and now you're going for ads.
So a lot
of times, a lot of the artists don't understand that you got to have a story to tell. You know, you got to be like, okay, well, where you been? Because you know better than I do. The first thing when you say you're in the business, the first thing they say, well, you know, what you do?
Yeah, they do.
And what you do is pretty much saying, what's your story? Where you been? Who you been working with? Who you know? How do I verify what you do? And is there a cosign that I can call up?
Yeah, well, you know, you said something that really piqued my interest. You said a lot of them have internet radio stations, which is exactly what this show is.
I meant to say internet radio shows, but
I'm definitely not here to slice up your words. I just meant internet radio, period, like
uh-huh.
stations. But when I first started my show, I was apprehensive in trying to tell people it's an internet-based show because people didn't get it. I'm like, no, just log onto your computer and it plays through your speakers. And so now people are starting to get it, but by now I already have an amazing listenership. My database is growing. How do you feel about internet radio and where it's going to take independent music?
I'm going to use one of the shows that we got right now that's actually one of our DJs, and he's also Vice President Jay. He's also known as the Hitman. We're working with Kevin Black with Warner Brothers and Kitty. They managed to take their internet radio show and get it syndicated on about 14 different internet radio stations. And I think that, you know, I think that's crazy from the standpoint with internet radio, because I've been on, I had an internet radio show up here in Rockland County. You may not get, like, in New York, on Hot 97 or Power 105, the ability to reach, to have a total DMA reach of about 50 million people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're able to pick, if you're able to, like, move, if you're able to have your show on various internet radio stations, you can begin to create a footprint to make an impact for yourself, not only as an artist, but as a DJ or a talk show host, whatever type of show format that you have. If you're real aggressive, you know, you got to look at the internet radio stations more like being a syndicated columnist in print media.
Right.
You know, you have about 2,000 dailies out there. So if you're able to get picked up by 1,200, your reach is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look at internet radio just like you look at a, or better yet, any of this new media, like print, like daily newspapers, and look at each of them as circulation. So if you're able to get a piece of about 100 internet radio stations, you can have the reach of, let's say, a tier 3 radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to do a lot of damage, if you will.
You're spot on, and that's why I was trying to explain to somebody. They were like, well, because I'm actually on 3 shows a day, believe it or not, 3 internet radio shows a day. And it's all about continuing to brand myself, to brand my books, and to speak and lecture. But I was trying to explain to this person, like, when you're dealing with an internet radio station, you're not even dealing with people in your own backyard. And I recently rejected an opportunity to do a show, a small show on an AM station in a local market in New England. And I said, to me, it's not worth it to add the stress of trying to create that show when I could do my show anywhere. I can do it anywhere, play anything. Like, I don't want to be conformed to that, and it's unfortunate because I'm just going to speak to a lot of the radio personalities, you know, for the radio, on behalf of the radio personalities. Right now, a lot of shows are going syndication, and I know Hot 97 right here in New York City was the first full-time rap station in the country, and it came out, I believe it was 1993, and a lot of people were apprehensive because, oh, gangster rap was real prevalent in 93, but now, not so long ago, they just axed their morning show for a person that's syndicated. So now Big Boy's morning show or something like that now plays on Hot 97 in New York, and Miss Jones now no longer has a job. So now somebody like her, how viable is it for her to just start her own radio station or her own Miss Jones in the morning? And I'm not speaking specifically to her, to out her, but I'm just saying people like her that don't even have a job anymore, and radio has been their life.
Yeah, you're right. And then even more than that, I mean, you mentioned Hot 97. You know, technically speaking, you know, it brands itself as a hip-hop and R&B station. But if you look on R&R, it's listed as a CHR station. And for those who don't know, that's Contemporary Hits Radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's slowly moving more to not a CHR rhythmic, but a CHR pop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, outside of, and technically speaking, Power 105 is listed as an urban station.
Wow.
You know, Power 105, so, you know, if you peep in game slowly, one day you may turn on Hot 97, and you may not hear a whole lot of hip hop. They will continue playing hip hop, but you know they ain't gonna break no New York artists.
Well, you know what? I remember when I moved to Atlanta a couple years back, and I thought it was pretty funny because in Atlanta you could go up to the station and hand off your music. Getting into Hot 97 here in New York, I was working for a PR firm that was 2 blocks from Hot Studio. So every day going home, I used to walk past Hot every single day. You see LL walking in, Busta Rhymes walking in, everybody walking in. You couldn't, because it was like a celebrity. Hot 97 was a celebrity in of itself. But I follow radio trackings and radio news and radio blogs, and I'm learning more and more every single day that stations are taking off the fact that they are rap or they are hip hop because it's damaging their brand. Why do you think that is?
Oh, advertising dollars.
Really?
Because you got to realize a lot of sponsors. You're gonna, you know, remember back in the day there was a controversy with certain companies that had a non-urban buy to the advertising dollars.
Yeah.
So that's still prevalent over there in Madison Ave.
Wow.
We know this. You know, we may rock Tommy Hilfiger, but Tommy Hilfiger is not going to put an ad on Hot 97. But but we will go out there and rock it. Remember, I think that was the main company like 4 or 5 years ago that had all the controversy.
Yeah, and a friend of mine worked for Tommy. You know what's real funny? I read Inc. magazine, and in my Inc. magazine, they did an article on Timberland. And the CEO of Timberland, for those of you that aren't familiar, that company is like a bajillion years old, and they passed off ownership in, you know, generations or whatever. He was saying how their sales are down 70%. And as I continue to read the article, it's in Inc. magazine, and I believe it is in their August issue, if I'm not mistaken, where he said the loss of their hip-hop consumer really was reflected in their sales. Now, for those of you that don't quite remember, I remember when there was a point in time when Timberland was fronting on hip-hop. They were, didn't even want us, and now his sales are off because now we've switched to other brands. We've switched to, you know, I don't even know what boots dudes wear. I have two teenage sons. I don't even know what they wear half the time. But the point is, now he's feeling it. Matter of fact, I think I should go to them and ask them to advertise on Life Remix Radio. How about that? But the point is, at one point he was saying how, you know, we all remember how Timberland kind of fronted on hip-hop and we're not an urban brand, but now all of a sudden your sales are off 70%? That's crazy. That's like companies could go bankrupt over 70%. So do you think, and so what you're saying is that's why they're losing that rap or hip-hop or urban format on all these stations?
Yeah, they're going with advertising now. I mean, right now, plus, also, hip-hop sales are declining.
Yeah.
R&B is increasing their market share, but all record sales are down. R&B is increasing their market share, but you notice a resurgence of pop music.
Yeah.
Even if you're a rapper, even if you're an R&B singer right now. I mean, Rihanna's more pop right now than she is R&B.
And you know something? You hit it dead on. And I remember when 50 got at Ja Rule some years ago about him singing, you know, remember Ja Rule for a minute was singing with everybody. Baby. You know what I'm saying? And now 50, the first thing I remember, 21 Questions by 50 Cent was one of my favorite songs, 50 and Nate Dogg. And every time I hear that song, I'm like, yo, this is the same dude that outed Ja Rule for that singing swagger type of song. And he's doing the same thing because that was the trend even back then.
But you know what's funny? He was doing it in his own mixtapes back then. The difference was he was singing on the hooks, kind of being misogynistic on the mixtapes. But, you know, when he had a chance to make a real album, like you said, 21 Questions came out. Actually, I thought it was probably the best written song on the album.
I love that song. I still play that in my album.
I thought that was probably one of the best written songs on that album. I was trying to tell people that everyone said Mini Man. I was like,
yeah.
Mini Man, I mean, I think because, you know, because of the storyline, but I was like, from a lyricist standpoint, if you're really, really paying attention, it's probably the best written song on the album.
I have to agree with you. I just want to read you some things that jumped off in the chat room. And we're almost at the end of the show. How did that happen? Let me just read you some of the stuff that's going on in the chat room with Cy Brown. Everybody, you're listening to, well, no, I was going to say your whole, what, how do you say the government name? you're listening to GS, just down with the Lord Gang, DJs and Lord Gang Worldwide. He's joining us today to talk about his conference call that he had last night on sexism in the entertainment industry. And the conversation just kind of flowed on over to radio and internet radio. So, I mean, I just have the dopest guests on the show. But let me read you some stuff that was jumping off in the chat room. TrueView was saying K-Day in L.A., the rap station, was bought by Radio 1 and changed it to the Beat L.A. I heard about that. Actually, a lot of shows in L.A. are syndicated. He's from Los Angeles and listens every single day. We come on at 9 o'clock in L.A., so thank you for joining us every day when you sit down at your computer to work. But he was saying here it's Big Boy, Steve Harvey, Michael Bazin, Monique, Wendy Williams. Yeah, and Ricky Smiley is on the come up right now with radio syndication.
Mm-hmm.
He also said R&B contemporary, no more rap and hip-hop. Let me see what else is jumping off. Yeshu, who's in Texas, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, said, I think that's why record companies are losing business because they're losing touch with the people who buy the products. Tiff, who's on the West Coast, too. She is, actually is the host of the Hip Hop Entrepreneur that comes on Wednesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. She said the hip-hop culture is so powerful, we need to learn to capitalize off our culture and keep the money in with us. True said grown and sexy music. I think LL will make a comeback. Yeah, he might, but he needs to grow some hair on his face. I'm sorry. I love LL, but that cutesy baby look does nothing for me. I'm sorry. Maybe that's me being the girl that I am. I think he looked better when he was on In the House with one pant leg rolled up. But that's just...
Stop.
Yeshu said they made a mistake in thinking that every teenager likes hip-hop only. It's funny, most hip-hop artists are black, but 80% of the people who buy it are Caucasian. You know, it is what it is. It just is what it is. You know, I think the purpose of everything we do every day is to rethink people, rethink what we know, rethink how we do things. Apply life's lessons to our life so we can be better us's. Every single day I wake up, I try to be a better Sai. I want to be a better Saida than I was yesterday. And some days I make it dead on, and some days I fail miserably. I mean, people mad at me. Yo, you ain't calling me back? Well, whatever. Sorry. I do my best. I wake up every day and literally try to be a better Sai than I was yesterday. And you know, if that means, you know, listening to a little hip-hop, turning off hip-hop sometimes, hosting a radio show, doing my talks, it's really about personal growth for me just as much as me bringing you guys information every day. Gee, we're down to the last couple minutes of the show. You want to give everybody your final thoughts, give them your website and all that good stuff so we can wind down and get ready to party this weekend?
All right. Let me go out there and give a shout-out to Do It All from Lords of the Underground, President and CEO of Lord Game Worldwide. Also, I'm going to plug the show that we got on Streets 96.
Absolutely. .com.
It's 5 to 7 on Saturdays. Big shout-outs to the Hitman over there with Kitty and Kevin Black over there. Streets to the Streets on SwerveRadio.com and 14 other internet radio stations, which I can't remember. Shout outs to Mike Hatch and Danger One, D-Docs, Lord Jazz over there in Paris, holding it down for us over there in Europe. So, you know, that's pretty much the whole Lord Gang family, plus other people that's working with us. My contact information is you can contact me at GS. Lord Gang, LORDGANG, @gmail.com. My telephone number is 845-893-6816. So, you know, I'm open to work with anyone that's, you know, that has some creative talent, you know, see what makes sense. You know, so that's what I'm hoping people hit me up with anything that they're trying to work with. I got the email confirmation, so I'm gonna add you to my database.
Okay.
You know.
Well, I just want to let you know I put all your information in the chat room, so good looking out. Thank you for that. Just real quick question before we jump off the air. Everybody wants to know if there's a way that they can listen to last night's call.
You know what? I had it recorded. It's about 3 hours long. We have an archive, but I haven't released it, and we normally don't release it. But you know, we have it in the plans to start taking some of these calls, and I think I may use this one as the first one to have it edited and narrowed down to the point where you get the highlights of it, and probably make it to an hour podcast.
Okay.
And start putting it out, but I don't know exactly when I'm going to do it. So whenever I do, I make sure that, you know, Saida gets it and she can make sure that it gets out to everybody.
Thank you very, very much. So everybody, you got that. And if you join his mailing list, I put his email in the chat room. Shoot him an email. He'll add you to the list. I just want to say thank you for spending an hour with us. I know your time is precious, and I know you cannot get your hour back. But I'm really happy and appreciative that you took the time to spend with my listeners today, this Friday. This show will broadcast all the way until Monday till I do another show, everybody. I want you all to have a great weekend. And just remember that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds holds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is. And wherever you are, God is. It's your girl, Cy Brown, signing out on this Friday, October 3rd. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.